Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 through 14. You'll find the scriptures behind you on the screen. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron.
And he received the gold
from their earrings and fashioned it with the engraving tool and made a mold of it. Then he said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves." And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people. Indeed, it is a stiff-necked people." Then Moses pleaded with the Lord, his God, and said, "Lord, why does harm burn against the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand?" Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, "I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as all this land that I have spoken of, I give to your descendants, and you shall inherit it forever." Verse 14 together. So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I sense something today, right now, as I'm preparing to launch into this message, that this is so important for somebody sitting in this room. Somebody who's given up, that's turned back, that's even found themselves in the category of one who's worshiping things that really don't count, that's got themselves into idolatry of this world in so many different forms that it can take. But Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, they will break free. They will find a place in God that they've never known before. Holy Spirit, you've taught us a lot today. And Lord, I pray that before we leave this room, there'll be others that will turn away from those things that we cause them to fall away from God, and they fall into his arms of love, of mercy, and of strength. I thank you for this, and I praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you be seated, please? I'm just going to start where I believe God wants me to start. Because the story is so, it's so there. All the things I put together as far as thoughts are concerned, we'll pick up a few of them, but I just want to talk to you from the very standpoint. I don't think it takes a whole lot for you to figure out what happened. And I want to tell you the basis of what happened. If you go back into the scriptures, probably about five chapters, the Lord makes an appointment with Moses. And actually, I think you can pick that one up, Sheila. I think it's in chapter 25. I think I have the scripture there, if you can find it in my notes and then put it up there on the screen. I believe it's a little further down. It talks about when Moses the Lord is talking to him. I believe it's a little further down. Moses is talking in chapter 25, and when he's about to go up on the mountain. If you find it, that's fine. If you don't, matter of fact, I probably could find it a little bit quicker than you could in your notes there. Or 20, let's see here. My goodness. Maybe before that. That doesn't. Did you find it? Well, it doesn't matter. I can go from there. What happens is that God is about to put Moses on a journey, and he's taking him up into the mountains. He has a mountaintop experience with him. And during this mountaintop experience, God begins to lay out for him a plan for the children of Israel. And so what happens is that he ends up staying there for 40 days. I want you to just put that in your mind right now, is that I really don't think that Moses thought it was going to be that long. And I don't think you think it's going to be that long between you, basically, you're going to spend time with God, or between what God has promised you and when it comes to pass. And so the issue is that when we pick up this story, the people have lost confidence in God. They've lost confidence in Moses. And the very first statement we find here is indicative of some of the ways we live our lives. And so here, I call it spiritual amnesia. When we get into a tough spot, we forget and we pretend like God has never done anything for us. It's like we've done it all by ourselves. Just read a few verses there, and then you'll kind of get a picture of what they're saying here. It says, "And now when the people saw that Moses delayed his coming down the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make for us gods.'" How long has it been you've been waiting for God to do something in your life? You answer that for yourself. And my question is, have you lost confidence in God? To the point that you're willing to take a shortcut to worship by creating your own God. You say, "Oh, I'd never do that." I don't know, you'd never do it. You already have. Because you found a substitute to take the place of the God who has brought you thus far. Now, listen to this. Just in this one verse, it says this. He delayed his coming and gathered to Aaron and said, "Come, make for us a God that shall go before us. For as for Moses," "for this Moses." Do you feel the distance there? This Moses? Okay. This Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt. Are we schizophrenic or what? Is this Moses the man who brought us out of Egypt? And that can be taken two ways. The man who victoriously brought us out of Egypt out of slavery, or the man who brought us out of Egypt with a promise that he's never fulfilled. Which one are you? We were doing okay until he talked us into getting out of Egypt, and now everything's falling apart. We don't know where he is, but we need to worship somebody, and somebody's got to do something. Frustration will get you in trouble. But I want to just take a little, just for a side note, and then we'll finish this in a matter of a few minutes, actually. When God calls Moses up onto the mountain, he has this mountaintop experience with him. For the next few chapters after that, and I can't really tell you how many there were, but there's quite a few of them after he, actually it's in chapter 24. I found it, okay. And I'll read a couple of verses for you there. And it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Come up with me to the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law and the commandments which I have written, that you may teach them.' So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went to the mountain of God. And then he said to the elders," this is before he leaves, "'Wait here for us till we come back, and Aaron and Hur with you, and if any man has difficulty, let him talk to them.'" So he's going to give them instructions before he takes off. And then Moses went up into the mountain, and the cloud covered him in the mountain. And the glory of the Lord rested upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud was covered him for 6 days. And seventh day he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was on him with a consuming fire at the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So they know, kind of know where he goes. Then, so Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. The first thing they said was a flat-out lie. We don't know what happened to Moses. It's a lie. But sometimes the glorious experiences that we're caught up with God, we forget about those things. We all of a sudden focus it on our need to have something that we don't have at that moment. Now, interestingly enough, just to give you a perspective, so in chapter 25, I'm just going to pick up something real quickly, and he's in verse 16, he says this, and the Lord says, "And you shall put in the ark the testimony which I give you, and you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold, and 2.5 cubits, and it shall be its length." And it gives all these precise information about what they're supposed to do. Let me just skip on to chapter, a little later on the chapter. It says, "And you shall make a lampstand of pure gold." It gives you information about that. Chapter 26, and it says, "Moreover, you shall take the tabernacle, 10 curtains of woven fabric," and he talks about that. Then he goes on to the next chapter, and to the next chapter. He's giving all this information. How are you going to store all this information? All this stuff is being rattled out in this 40-day period of time. Moses is getting the whole outline of what their lives are going to be like, how they're going to be dealing with this wilderness experience, and they're down there complaining, "We don't know where Moses is. And we don't know what he's doing. All we know is we need to worship somebody." But here's the part it's going to really mess with you. So they go to Aaron. Now, Aaron is the appointed person to basically stand in Moses' stead. Okay? Aaron is a coward. Aaron is a coward. And so he goes up there and says, "We don't know what happened to him." And he says, and so what he says to these folks, "Break off your earrings and your stuff and bring it to me, and I will make you an idol." This is the guy in charge. He ain't looking so good. Anybody, can I have your wallet? You don't have one? Somebody got a wallet? I don't want you to take. I want your wallet. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm gonna make out of it whatever I want. Matter of fact, I think I might be able to go have a nice lunch today. That's how ridiculous the situation is. Break off all your earrings and I'll make something for you to worship. How dumb are they? But I got to hold Aaron accountable to this particular thing. He knew better, but because of the pressure of the people, he had to do something. I want to take you to another person that lost his kingdom because of that. Saul. People are pressuring. They're supposed to be coming for the sacrifice. And he knew he wasn't supposed to do it. And Samuel was late according to his calendar. His time frame is, he's late. He says, I got to do something. But people are scattering from me. And so what does he do? He decides he's going to give the sacrifice. I want to tell you something. If you don't get anything else out of this message, you better wait on God for his final instruction and not be pressured by folks. Oh, yeah. You can have your wallet back. I'll get lunch later. Why did they do it? Sacrifice all of their gold and make this calf. And then they decide, let's have a dance party. Read your Bible. That's what they did.
That's right.
Then they start telling, this is the idol that brought you out of Egypt. How crazy can you get? But I'll tell you what, when we are destined to worship, we'll worship anytime, anybody, anywhere, and we will proclaim it to be our God, knowing all the time he's not.
That's right.
Listen to me carefully, because I'm going to try to wrap this up in 10 minutes or less. Because I believe that God is doing something in the spiritual realm here that's going to be so important for those people that who have abandoned the idea or the concept of God being the God who can deliver us from any situation, but we want to make our own gods. So they do this, and then the message gets to, and of course God sees this whole thing. He says, Moses, you need to go down there and deal with your folks. Your peeps have lost their minds. Anybody have children ever lost their mind? Come on, wave them in the air like you just don't care. You told them this and they did that. Oh, somebody said they still do. Well, I can't. But the interesting part of this story, and I'm going to have to summarize a lot of different things, but it's not going to lose its impact. But it will speak directly to your heart, because here's the deal. So this whole thing happens, and the Lord says to Moses, you need to go down there and deal with your people. But here's something that was shocking and frightening. And God says, this is it. I'm done. Come on, parents, how many of you have been done?
Oh, yeah.
You have been done. Done. Not D-O-N-E, D-U-N. Done. We ain't going no further. This train ain't leaving the station. And so he says, and God says something that's pretty profound. Everyone say this word, intercessor. And he makes Moses an offer. He says, I'm going to take them folks out. And I'm going to deliver you an inheritance to you and to your family. And I'm going to kill all of them. And Moses turned God down. And that's the part that caught me out of this whole message, is that Moses could have had it all for himself. Because Moses had captured God's attention because of his faithfulness. But here's the part that you need to know. And we read this story, a little story about Moses' history. And Moses had really psychoanalyzed, if you want to use that term, and don't hold me to that. But he really knew the heart of God better than perhaps we think he did. Because as he's been made this offer by God, he says, God, don't do that. And I want to tell you why. Because you're going to look bad. Moses is counseling God. Try to erase it from your Bible, it's not going to work. Moses is counseling God. He says, God, this ain't going to look good on your record. Because the people of Israel say then after he brought them out of their bondage and he just took them out in the desert and killed them. And so the story goes, and I got to fast forward to the last few minutes of this story because this is the part I think will help every single one of you who have lost hope in the fact where you've made a bad decision. And some decisions, perhaps you think that are irreversible. Look at the word of God. Verse 12 says, why should the Egyptians speak and say he who brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, to consume them on the face of the earth, turn away from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Moses is talking to God. Here's the last scripture I'm going to leave with you today. I'm going through a lot of stuff here, but I think it's the one that will help every single one of us who may be struggling in our identity with God. And the Bible says, and God changed his mind. Don't try to fix it. He changed his mind. In the same way that there's certain people who said, I'll never talk to her again. I'll never forgive them that particular thing. I'll never, 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 never. Don't ever say never. And I want to tell you why Moses could really counsel God, if you want to call it that, because he thought about what God did for him. When he killed the Egyptian, when he's on the run in this type of situation, when he goes through all these other different parts, and God forgave him and gave him the opportunity, he says, I don't even deserve to be alive. He says, God, if you could forgive me, certainly you can forgive them. Let me read this little portion of scripture and we're going to be done. So this talks about what you can rely upon. Verse 6 of chapter 34. And the Lord passed before them and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, by no means clearing the guilty. Let me stop there. If you think he's just kind of an indulging debt, no. But the very nature of who he is. But the word he puts in there is guilty. The only way any of us have even a chance with God is that we had to admit at some particular point and ask God for forgiveness, and he will forgive you. That's how it works. It's not like, it doesn't matter. They all come free. It doesn't matter. And then he says, here's the part that some of you will kind of struggle with. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children and children to the third and the fourth generation. I'm going to close my Bible there. Try to bring some sense out of this as I get ready to close. I want to bring you to Jesus. And Jesus was the divine intercessor that said this. On the cross, for us, when his life was slipping away, he said these words, Father, forgive them. Or they don't know what they're doing. That's caught in a very tenuous place because they knew exactly what they were killing him. But they thought They didn't comprehend that he was on the cross because of every sin they would ever commit and the whole world would commit, and he's willing to take it all upon himself. I want to tell you today, when God would change his mind and spare a people that deserved to die, wouldn't you trust a God like that? When he could have just wiped you out and he didn't do it? It's interesting the fact of how much he loves us in the midst of all of our problems and all of our situations. I got to stop here. Everyone bow your heads. Everyone bow your heads right now. Because there's something I'm seeing in the spirit, and I know there's not a whole lot I could do with the thoughts that I put before you, but here's the one thing we're going to hang everything I've said on one thing. There are people in this room right now that believe that what they've done or where their life has gone, that God can't or won't forgive them. It's more than the fact of you being able to forgive yourself. It's just the fact that he said, I've gone too far. Then there's another category of people here that would rather hold on to offenses from other people rather than accept God's forgiveness for the things that you've done wrong. I want to tell you there's healing, there's salvation for both. Everybody's head bowed. Everybody. What do you need from Jesus today? I heard somebody whispering in the back of their mind, if I could just have peace today of knowing that God isn't against me, I'd be okay. Another person in the back of their mind says, if I could just go back 10, 20 years and do my life over again and erase that particular thing off of my record, I'd be okay. You can't, but Jesus can forgive you. I want to pray a prayer here. And then at the end of the prayer, I hope there are people, matter of fact, I know there are people that will resonate with it. That the guilt and shame of the things that you're holding on to, that you can let go of them today. Jesus, we don't deserve it. Lord, in the midst of all the things that we've gone through, and this whole story about the children of Israel having amnesia of the deliverance that they'd experienced and turned their eyes and their hearts toward another God. And then the story just gets more complicated, where God says, that's enough. I'm going to destroy them all. And then there's an advocate like Moses, which is like Jesus, our advocate, who went to the cross for us, took all of our sin, all of our guilt, all of our shame, and took care of it once and for all. Lord, I want to appeal to people here today that the weight of sin, the weight of guilt, those offenses they carry right now, they can be forgiven. And they can trust Jesus with their life. If God, the creator of everything, would listen to the petition of one who he created and change his mind, I can trust a God like that. That would be merciful and compassionate to my situation. The devil's told you you're unforgivable. But Jesus says, forgive them. Even when they knew what they were doing, forgive them. with heads bowed, with eyes closed. I want to see the hands of the people right now that says, I want that kind of forgiveness. I want Jesus to touch my life like that right now. If that's you, lift your hand up right now. Lift it up high where I can see it. Lift it up high right now. Lift it, lift it, lift it, lift it, lift it, lift it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Leave it up there. Leave it up there because we're going to take care of the devil today. Leave him up there for a moment. Because as you leave it up there, the mercy flows from the mercy seat of God and you're going to experience miraculous grace. You can put your hands down. Now in just a moment, we're going to make a room for you down at this altar for you to respond to Jesus. But as we do so, there'll be people interceding for you, that your heart will be cleansed, that your life will be cleansed, that you'd find a relationship with Jesus that far surpasses anything you've ever known before. I want you to come with the expectation that you're going to leave all of that stuff behind, that you're going to embrace a new life in Jesus. Everybody stand to your feet. Those of you who raise your hands, step out right now in Jesus' name. Come right now in Jesus' name. Come right now in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.